Blog Talk Radio.
Grand Hustle, pal. Big Shadow Nazi. Big Money Roll. Trap Music 2003.
TIP.
Rubber Band Man.
I just put the XL on 24, pal.
Right.
It is, yo.
I'm out. Money Roll. And those cars and clothes. That's all.
But anyway, what's up, y'all? It's your boy, Brooklyn Kid. Broadcasting live from NYC. I don't know. That was just the most randomest thing I just said earlier. I forgot who said that. I really forgot. Anyway, that's not important. Anyway, I'm broadcasting live from NYC, host Underrated Radio. Hope y'all doing good out there. Hope y'all had a good weekend, a good week. you're having a good night, and surely you're having a good weekend. Today is, what's today's date? October 17th, and 2015. My bad, I'm mine just went for a blank. Yeah, I hope y'all, like I said, hope y'all doing good. Hope y'all, everything's going good with y'all. If you want to call in, the number is 516-453-9358. That's 516-453-9358. I was reading something, and I guess that, I think that's what caused me to kind of get sidetracked a little bit in the mind and stuff. You know, typically when I come on here, I'm a little prepared on, you know, the things that I say, you know, when I'm, in the beginning of the show when I'm introducing myself as usual, you know. But first of all, I'm going to give a offer thoughts, prayers, and, you know, and well wishes to Lamar Odom. Now, I don't know what's been going on over there. Well, we know, but we don't know, do you know, that they, if this is accurate or not, you know, if this is a conspiracy. Thankfully, you know, he's all right, though, despite that he, you know, what he went through in terms of passing out or just, you know, being unconscious in the whorehouse and stuff, and they have to drive him an hour to the ambulance had to drive him an hour away to the nearest hospital and stuff, and he was in a coma for a couple of days. But thankfully, he's all right now. I mean, not all right, but he's on the road to recovery. You know, he's off the life support, and the breathing tube is out of his mouth, and, you know, and he's talking, he's breathing, is breathing functionally and stuff, and he's all right. You know, he'll be okay, thankfully. You know, I was, you know, you hear about people getting mixed up in these drug business and all that, you know, just drug use, I should say, and very unfortunate some when they, you know, when it catches up to them, a lot of them don't get a second chance. Seems like Lamar Odom got a second chance at life, and I'm happy to hear that. Hopefully that will behoove him to clean up his act and to, you know, really and truly, you know, just live a better life than what he was living before. Seemed like he was, I don't know, seemed like he was just depressed because they say he decided to go to the whorehouse just to get away. You know, he spent a lot of money on the women too, a lot of money. I'm not exactly sure how much he spent, but said he also had cocaine, like I said, you know, doing drug use. He also had cocaine mixed with some other drug. I'm not sure what it is, but he, you know, he just sad, man, you know, sad that he had to go through that, but hopefully that it will be a lesson learned for him and stuff, and he'll be progressing in his recovery or during his recovery process, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Anyway, the topic I want to talk about today, I ain't gonna lie, before I even get in, I was racking my brain all day on what to talk about. I almost chose not to do the show today simply because, you know, I like to, when I do the show, I like to have something to talk about. I don't just want to, you know, y'all know me already. I don't just want to actually come on here and just ramble or just talk about nothing. Again, if I really want to hear myself talk, I would not be on air right now. I would just be going, walking around, talking to myself or writing or doing something, whereas I'm, you know, examining my thoughts and things of that nature. You know what I mean? Not saying anything wrong with talking to yourself or, you know, things like that. But at the same time, at least for me per se, I like to hold dialogues, you know. I like to pick people's mind and see how they are and get their thoughts and, you know, have a good exchange of ideas and things of that nature. So that's why I, you know, that's one of the reasons why I do what I do right now, you know, of course, radio. You know, I enjoy discussing things with people and stuff, and, you know, hearing ideas, sharing my ideas, learning from people, you know, maybe somebody can learn from little old me, you know, no pun intended. But that's really what it is. But tonight I want to talk about, for this very short time, about finding your purpose and finding your purpose. Now, the reason why I decided to come up with this, again, I really had not much to talk about. And I really was racking my brain out, and I think the thoughts just dropped in my mind about, you know, talking about, you know, finding your purpose. And there's a lot of ways you can go through this, but again, we only have like less than 19 minutes left, so I'm really not going to go too deep into it. But, you know, a lot of people grow up thinking, you know, they don't really have, a lot of people know their purpose, but there's people that don't, there's people that don't initiate action when it comes to, you know, really building on that purpose. Some people don't even know their purpose at all. But you have some people that are lucky enough to know their purpose, but they just don't, they don't execute a plan to start something, you know? Like, let's go to the people that don't know their purpose. I know when I was younger, and stuff, I wanted to do computer engineering. Like, I felt that was my passion, that was my niche, you know, because I was always around the computer and stuff, always trying to figure certain things out when things were going wrong on the computer. So I thought that, you know, this could be something that I can, like, you know, I can do in my, as my career, you know, I can build my career off of this. And you can help change the world. Well, then again, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing when it comes to technology. But in a way, you can help, you know, how should I say it? You can actually help, you know, discover some electronical inventions when you do take place in the occupation, like computer engineering and just electronic engineering in general. You know, you can actually, you know, make some money doing that. Like, you know, you see how prevalent smartphones have become, or just not even just smartphones, but, you know, now we have tablets and iPads and stuff, you know, and or even just technology concerning our vehicles. Like, you know, when you have the Bluetooth, when you're in the car, you can just, you know, drive and talk to somebody while, you know, at the same time. And I'm not talking about, like, Bluetooth in the air or whatever. I mean, like, you know, you set up the passcode in the car, you know, and you can actually talk to that person. You can dial the number or the person call you. And then on the steering wheel, they have this number, they have this button where you just answer the phone and stuff, you know what I mean? And you could just drive and talk at the same time if you can do that. Not everybody can do that, but if you can handle that, then it's for you. So I always felt like, you know, I would fit that kind of the occupation and stuff. But then later on, when I was like 15, I was like, man, you know, my aunt was, I moved down to Florida with my aunt and my aunt, uncle, two cousins. And my aunt was telling me, this was around the time I started living over there. She's like, you know, you should become a radio broadcaster. And I said, word, I never really, you know, I really thought about that. She's like, yeah, you should do that. You have a charming personality. You have a very nice voice. You should do that. And honestly, I would tell you, all my born years at that time, I never thought about jumping on radio and like, you know, broadcasting from there, like, in all my years. And it's just weird because I'm like, I used to listen to radio. I mean, I still do to this day. But when I was younger, like 7, 8 years old, I used to listen to radio all the time. You know, I used to listen to Wendy Williams and stuff. And I would listen to Angie Martinez from time to time on High 97 and stuff. And when she was at High 97 at the time, Wendy Williams, I remember, used to be on, what's that radio station called again? 107.5 WBLS. You know, she used to be on there too. She used to do a bunch of gossiping and yapping and all that kind of stuff. But I still listen to her, you know, even though half the stuff that she was saying, I didn't really know. And I would wonder too, as a kid, like, yo, I wonder what they look like. You feel me? I wonder what they look like. You know, yeah, their voice is intriguing, what they're saying. I mean, yeah, as a kid, I didn't really understand, but it's somewhat interesting. But, you know, you're trying to imagine what they look like. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, yo, I'm never going to know what they look like and stuff if I don't, like, because I don't know. I just have to follow the voice, you know? But, of course, I know what they look like now. I mean, of course, Angie Martinez and Wendy Williams and stuff, but it's just I was intrigued by that, but I didn't really think about me doing radio. It's just totally not for me, you know? Just wanted to do computer engineering. Or actually, I wanted to be a basketball player, but of course, you know, I was too short. Or I wanted to be like an actor and stuff. You know, I wanted to do some things, but I felt radio, you know, was one of my main things because, you know, being somebody that has a nice voice and I could talk to, you know, a certain group of people and stuff, and I could hold dialogue and stuff. You know, I felt, you know, after thinking about it and stuff, you know, kind of researching it a little bit, I thought, you know, once I graduate high school, you know, I'll definitely go study broadcasting. That's how I started, you know. I studied broadcasting at the Artist Tutor for Lauderdale, and then I, you know, transferred to SUNY or Westbury and got my bachelor's in, you know, media and communication. So I always felt like, you know, that was cool that I wanted to do radio and stuff, you know. Of course, not to mention, I have a nice voice as well, so I got to put this voice to use, you know, I got to do that, but I know within me, I have more purposes in life than just radio broadcasting. You know, some I know, some I don't really know, you know what I mean? Some of them is like, I really would like to discover them, but it's like, I guess in due time, I will discover it, and I think that's how it is with people. Some people might go most of their life without even discovering their niche or purpose, you know, because they just, I don't know, maybe they just weren't paying attention to that. Maybe they were so into other things that they just didn't really notice that they had this talent, this skill that they can craft and that they can actually decide to put it to use to their advantage and stuff, you know? And like, to me, that's what society would call late bloomers. You know what I mean? Late bloomers are people who discover their niches late, or excuse me, their talent late. You know what I mean? Like, I would say, a lot of writers, like authors and short story writers and stuff, or even like journalists to some degree, have been or are actually late bloomers. Like a lot of writers are late bloomers. Harrison Ford, who was an actor, was a late bloomer. He started acting late. You know what I mean? Like, because you know how some actors, they start like in their, I'm not exactly sure the average age that a person start acting, but a person that takes on the acting job is like, I don't know, maybe early to mid-20s, I assume. You know what I mean? Like, so I mean, it's amazing that Harrison Ford is actually, you know, is considered to be one of the greatest actors, you know, being, you know, in Hollywood, you know, starring in the Indiana Jones series or movie series and stuff, you know. Like, he did that and I'm not exactly sure what other movies he was in, but I'm never really watched his movies too much, but and on top of that, he was a July baby like me, so. But nevertheless, I mean, he discovered his talent, you know, kind of late, but at the same time, it's still, you know, he still put it to use anyway. He didn't let that stop him. Because I remember reading one time that, you know, he just went through a lot of rejection and stuff when it came to like auditions, and finally, you know, he finally, you know, got a role, and that just, it just built up from there. And I think, again, I think he started like in his, I think he started in his 30s, early to mid 30s, I'm not exactly sure. But I just remember that, Harrison Ford is one of late bloomers in Hollywood today. Who else? But I will go back to saying, when talking about writers that are actually late bloomers, it's amazing to me when a writer it actually discovers his talent later on in life. And not to say it's amazing in a bad way, but it's amazing in the sense where it's like, okay, that person, that person that's actually at that age, well, maybe he might be in his, maybe he or she might be in their 50s or 60s and stuff, that's just beginning their writing career. Like, it's just amazing. I'm like, wow, you know, they can actually incorporate that, their what, not just, if and even if they got an education or not, but they can incorporate their life experiences and with, you know, wisdom and knowledge and stuff to incorporate that in their writing, because, you know, reading people's experiences is nice, you know. I mean, even if it was bad or good, but reading it's definitely an opportunity, because you get to learn about an individual. You know what I mean? You get to learn about them. You get to understand where they're coming from. So I just find it amazing that a group of people that discovered their writing, their talent for writing is actually, you know, later on in life. You know what I mean? And I just want to let people know, I mean, if you really can't find your purpose in life, I mean, I would have to say kind of like, I mean, I'm not trying to give it, I should be the last one to give advice to, because I didn't really know how to, you know, find my niche. You know, I didn't really, it was just something that I played around with after a while and kind of grew to like it. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing with, like, musicians. Like, I admire musicians, like, talented musicians, people that can play piano, saxophone, the drums, and the bass, and, or I say just guitars in general. You know what I mean? I admire people like that, because it takes, they, especially when they started young, and I think they call people like that child prodigies. You know, they actually decided, you know, pick that up young and become they decided to perfect their crafts and actually, you know, exceeding in learning how to play that particular instrument and others as well. You know, and especially like, you know, artists, like visual artists, like, you know, you have illustrators and graphic designers, you know, those are people I admire as well, because not only, you know, they design things according to their vision, or they working as a freelance artist or visual artist, they have to, and they doing designs for other people, they have to go by what the customer wants. But when they're doing their own thing, their own vision and stuff, they actually, you know, I forgot what I was going to say now. Mine just went blank. But they actually going to, you know, it's something that they saw and that they try to bring it to reality, you know, as far as like on, you know, their art, what, you know, what they want, you know what I mean, what their vision is, you know what I mean. I always, it took them practice and hours of just perfecting that craft to when they said, yes, this is it, you know what I mean. But they still practice, even though they perfected it, just so they can, you know, they don't mess up You know what I mean? When they're doing their thing. But if you haven't found your craft, I mean, your niche, you know, I say, you know, I don't know, go to a community college. They have certain classes there that you can take that you might be interested in. Like, they have voiceover classes, they have knitting classes, they have singing classes, they have all kinds of stuff. You know, your local community college, or you can go to your community center if you have one and stuff, and or you should. Every I don't know about every town, but every state should have one. You know what I mean? It's very impossible for a state not to have a community center. But go there and maybe you might find something that you enjoy doing and stuff, you know? And you might pick it up and wanna, you know, and excel at it. You never know unless you try. You know, sometimes we have so many talents that we, or so many things that we're good at, we don't even know. You know what I mean? So unless we really, really decide to execute that plan, or execute the action, I'm going fast today. But, you know, just taking the initiative and trying it out. You know what I mean? And seeing it for yourself. Everything is not for everybody. So some things are for you, some things are not for you. You know what I mean? So that's just really what it is. Hopefully y'all find, you know, y'all niche and y'all can enjoy it. You know, never do something that you don't really enjoy, because you're probably going to be miserable at it and stuff, you know, for real. But I have about like 2 minutes left, so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw this out there. Make sure you be on the lookout for the Brooklyn Kid and Cognac show. The Brooklyn Kid and Cognac show. Try to be coming back next month. I'm not exactly sure when. Got to hit up Drew, and we're going to discuss that and stuff. You know what I mean? And what else I want to say? Oh, yeah. We might. I don't think we're going to do it, but I might do the Thanksgiving special. I know about, I think 2 years ago, was it last year? I think it was last year. Anyway, when we brought back the show, when we brought back Underrated Radio, we actually did a Thanksgiving special. I think it was twice we did it. I'm not exactly sure. But we did that, and I want to bring it back, but I don't know if I'm going to be free that night. I don't know. I might not be, so we're going to see about that. And again, just make sure y'all be on the lookout. Go ahead, if y'all on, what was I going to say? Oh, Lord have mercy. If y'all viewing this by way of internet, there you go. It went blank. Make sure y'all go ahead and like that page. All right, because I definitely will be putting the news up on about the Thanksgiving show. You know, just a little something we do, just a little something fun, you know, people calling and tell what they're thankful for and stuff like that, you know, just nothing serious, you know, just a little fun 30-minute show to, you know, really show people that we're thankful for what's in our lives. So anyway, I have about 39 seconds left, so I will end this show, and before I end the show, I want to thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for listening to me. I hope you have a good night, a good weekend, and surely but surely a good week. I hope that y'all will be safe, and of course, people in the Northeast, y'all stay warm. It's getting a little cold, but anyway, I'll be back same time, same place next week on Underrated Radio. Y'all take care. All right. Yeah, have a good one. Peace.